Want to try that again? It is fall. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So this morning is the time when we begin to reassemble as a congregation following summer activities and fall fair. In a way, this is a time when we assemble as the church, as a new church year gets underway. So this morning, we're considering two different readings which instruct us on how to be the faithful living body of Christ. So just a quick show of hands, this first text talks about the Ten Commandments. How many of you think that you can actually list off the Ten Commandments? Yes, Scott, I'm looking right at you. Come on, fess up. All right, well, I'll tell you that, and you'll hear it in the reading, but you're in good company because even St. Paul couldn't get more than four when he was writing to the Romans, so you're in good company. So this first text does come from Paul's letter to the growing church in Rome, and it begins, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment, are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it's now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, and the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." The second reading comes from Matthew 18, verses 15 to 20. It's about the spiritual gift that occurs when we come together in a community of love and respect. "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you've regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." Hear what the Spirit's saying to the church.
Have you ever watched a child construct a tower with blocks? If you have, you've seen this young architect take block after block, and ever so carefully she places them and slowly builds the tower. She has her eyes on certain blocks that make sense for the bottom and others that make sense for the middle, and it goes on, and slowly she builds an incredible structure. About 10 years ago, I had the opportunity of visiting Sagrada Familia Basilica in Barcelona, Spain. It's a church designed by Gaudi. It was first broke ground 135 years ago, and they expect that in 2028 it will finally be completed. And over those years, they say that generations of families have worked on this one cathedral, building a church for the glory of the Lord. Children, their parents, their grandparents, their great-parents, great-grandparents in some cases, have painstakingly worked, brick by brick, glass roof, building this church. Today, as we gather again in this September Sunday, we in many ways reassemble as a congregation. We rebuild Northwood as we go ahead into this church season. We put building blocks on what Northwood will be like into this coming year. Now, I've noticed that Northwood doesn't really mess around. We jumped right into it with the fall fair yesterday, and all hands were on deck as we just had a wonderful community outreach, and what a great and successful fundraising outreach project, ministry, fall fair it truly was. And today we gather on what I often think of as Welcome Back Sunday. Now, I should be honest and tell you that it's not a church Sunday, per se, like Christmas or like Easter, but I really think we should consider it as such. Welcome Back Sunday really is kind of in the air, isn't it? Summer is coming towards an end. Children have had to deal with those three terrible words, back to school. Things are all starting to get involved here at the church. People are coming back in new ways, getting involved, excited about new things. Choir's back. Can I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah. Bible study, prayer shows, all the different ministries are starting to reassemble and get more lively, and more things are happening. New projects and ministries are happening as well as we move into September, and you're going to hear all about that in the coming weeks. But as we do that, I always have deep in my heart a little bit of a fear. A little bit of a fear that as we gather that we might fall into our old routines. That we might do things just by rote. That we might not consider how we are called to move ahead in new ways as we go into this church year. So in many ways, I think this is a Sunday that we're called to consider how we will build this church that we call Northwood. The text this morning we had were two, as you heard from Ian. Never had anybody put me on the spot like that before, Ian. I guess you're angry that I gave you two texts to read, sort of doing double duty here. Normally we just choose one. But as I was looking at the four prescribed texts from the lectionary, I really thought that both Romans 13 and the Matthew 18 both had so much wisdom for us as we reassemble as a congregation. Paul writes to the Roman church and he says, wake from your sleep. Wake from your sleep, and in some ways that really typifies what we're called to do as we move into a new church year. For many of us, the Sabbath has come in the summertime. It's a time we've taken a little bit of a rest, a little bit of a breather, and that's a good thing. This is a time now that we're called to wake from our sleep and be the church in this community. And the text, the overarching message in this text, is the moral obligation that Paul calls the church to task. We have but one obligation morally to others, that is to love. For Paul, love is a very different thing. I mean, for most of us, when we think about love, we think about love being a very warm, beautiful emotion we have towards our beloved. We love our spouse, we love our family, we love a neighbor. But for Paul, love is about defining our behavior, guiding and shaping our behavior. And it's an obligation, it's the only obligation that we have as followers of Jesus, he says. He goes about and he lifts up some of the commandments, as Ian mentioned. He says that they inform the way that we will behave. They shape the way that we will interpret law. It refers to a few of them: adultery, murder, theft, covetousness. Shapes it all around law, love. Because if we love our neighbor, the law is fulfilled in the way that that is lived out. Is that odd for you to kind of hear? It is for me because we don't really read it that way in the world often, do we? We don't think of love as an obligation. But it should be. We should think of it that way as well. It's the same. It's a word in Greek that's an interesting one used throughout Paul's letters, ophilo. It's any obligation that we have, and Paul kind of takes it down, whittles it down to just but one. Probably the most popular ways that we hear ophilo in the, Paul's letters is in 1 John 4. It says, since God loved us, we ought to love one another. Ever considered your obligation to love others? As we leave the house, as we're within the home, that is our obligation for us to love one another's. Not an emotional thing per se, it is as well, but indeed we're called to do that. Now it's important, I think, Paul is not calling us to be doormats. Paul is not calling us to be walked all over either. Paul is calling us to lay the foundations of love. Love being the kind of building blocks that we just naturally exude as a community. So we have to ask ourselves, am I exuding love in my behavior? Am I living love in how I behave? Am I responding in love in those challenging times? I think in this part of Romans, it really unpacks a bit of a half-truth in theology that we need this passage to really help us, because Paul goes to a lot of work in his writings to talk about law being fulfilled in the gospel of Jesus. Paul, we often, people think of law and gospel as being very, very separate. The law in the past had been fulfilled in the gospel of Jesus. We often think of gospel as being about grace and about blessings and about redemption. And on the other hand, we think about law as being about something that derives us and maybe harasses us or punishes us. But this passage, what it does for Paul and for us, is it incorporates both. It incorporates gospel and law. So for Paul, there's almost a gospel law, if you will. There is an obligation for us, an obligation for us to live out love. We are not entirely free. We have that one part of our being that we are obliged now and always to live love. So those are some of the blocks we lay as a community in how we live out our love, how we live out our love in our ministries here at the church, how that looks for us. Most know that the mission of Northwood United is embracing the community with the love of Christ. And if we place love as a building block, we begin to see people in very different ways, don't we? We see people as ones that we are called to love. We see the ones that we are called to act towards with love. We see ones that we are called to offer our ministries of love. Now, that's a challenge, because I know a lot of people today, when they come to church, really today are thinking about things from a consumer perspective. Today, more and more people, a church shop, they think about the important needs that they have for themselves or their family, and they think about the importance of that being exercised. And so often we run into challenges when the going gets rough. What happens? This is a day of individualism, of self-reliance, and I think these are good principles. But I think the good churches, the good, strong churches today have those building blocks, those obligations to love through the good and through the bad, through the challenges that always would be there. Moving over to the other text is Matthew 18. This is only one of a few times in Scripture that presupposes the formation of a church. You know, Jesus wasn't really much concerned about that at all when we read through Scripture, was he, in the Gospels? What we find here is almost like a rule book of how to deal with conflict, right? It's a rule book of group dynamics and how we would deal with that. And we know that when we get a group of people, when you get 12 people in a room, there will be 13 different opinions, right? We know that people will dig their heels in. They'll fight. They'll hurt one another sometimes. And the principles that Jesus lays out, well, we're not going to go into the step-by-step that's laid out there. The principles laid out there boil down to the importance of coming together in unity. I don't know who the person was that first took apart the word community, but it's about coming in unity. Jesus talks about the importance for us to come together in unity, find harmony in that way. Jesus says, whatever we bind on earth, be bound in heaven. And whatever we loose on earth, loosed in heaven. Called it the challenge of what are we loosing? What are we allowing to live and breathe? And what are we fanning the flames of in the world today? What are we holding back? So today we also think about the building blocks of unity, the ways that we might come together, celebrating our differences, but also finding harmony, love, and wisdom in that. And Jesus says something wonderful happens if we do that. At the very end of the text, isn't that one of people's favorite passages? I know it's one of mine. At the very end of the text, Jesus says, if you come together in unity, Jesus will be there in your midst. For where two or three are gathered, I am there among you. You know what the most common activity scripture records Jesus as doing? Eating. Most common activity of Jesus through scripture is eating. He would eat with 5,000 people. He would eat at wedding feasts. He would eat with women and men and tax collectors and lepers and sinners and the whole bit. Jesus ate with everyone. And what happens when we eat together? We gather in the joys and the pains and all the times in between, and we gather together, and Christ is there among us. So I think what we hear in that part is the building block, spending time with one another. How will we spend time with one another in community? Not just in conflict, but coming together and just celebrating who the other among us is. Some great social events I see in our calendar all the way until December. Those are going to be wonderful opportunities. I'm going to make a really crazy suggestion, though, here. I'm going to make a crazy suggestion that we do something before we leave really wild and crazy. That we get up from our seat and get ready to go to the parking lot or for coffee, and we make a point for a moment or two to talk to someone we don't really know. You just go up and say, hi, my name's Scott. How are you? Now, not some of the people you sit near, because we generally sit together with people we know, but someone we haven't yet met or don't know that well. Or even crazier, what if you were to go up to someone and say, hi, my name's Scott. I'm going to tell you a thing or two about my faith. And listen to theirs. What I think might happen if we did things like this is we would be enriched by the diversity of other. We would find amidst other people a wonderful diversity, a richness and depth in our faith, and we would grow in ways we couldn't yet begin to imagine. So these are some of the building blocks that we find in Matthew, find in Paul's letter to Rome. I suspect you'd have some others that we could build quite a church. Got ourselves together on that. Love of neighbor as an obligation, as just the way we breathe, as the way we are. A charge to come together in our diversity. A place where the stranger becomes the friend. A place where Christ is experienced in our midst. Spiritual architecture, church, as we continue to build it into this new year. Soon, down the road, 5 years, 10 years, we'll be looking at building plans. We'll be looking at physical architecture of a new building. But now, let us continue to build the spiritual depth of this church, the ways that we are called. Let us reinforce the depth, the wonder, and the beauty of what makes Northwood a church as we move forward into this year of 2017. Thanks be to God. Amen.